Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. If it's 3 p.m. Central Time, it's Basic Gospel Live, and we want to hear from you. What's on your mind today? Let's talk about it right now at 844-322-2742, both in the U.S. and Canada. Toll-free, 844-322-2742. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and it is Basic Gospel. And, guys, we've had several calls that came in off hours recently, and let's listen to one of those calls right now.
Hello. The word Lord has one name, has a capital R in the spelling, and the other name has a small r in the spelling. Could you explain why this is? Also, in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, there is crying in heaven, and it says that God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Why are they crying? Thank you. I will listen to the answer, 6 p.m. in Edmonton. Thank you. Bye-bye.
And that question is from Maureen in Edmonton.
Yes, it is. And Maureen, thanks for asking that. As far as Lord, all capitals, versus Lord with capital L and small letters after that, that really gets down to a translation issue. So in the Old Testament, we see the word Yahweh. And whenever translators came across that particular word, they would do all caps to represent that. Lord with little letters, lowercase letters, that refers to Adonai, which is simply a phrase that means my Lord or sovereign or something like that.
Yes.
So it's just a translation thing to show the differences in those various words. Yahweh, as far as people of Israel were concerned back in that day, it was such a sacred name, they didn't even pronounce it. Mm-hmm. And in their scriptures, whenever they write it, it's G-D. So they don't even spell it out, just in honor and reverence of the holiness of that name. So That's the explanation of that. Now, as far as Revelation 21:4, where it says that God will wipe away all the tears, Richard, walk us through that. Are there going to be tears in heaven? And what exactly is John referring to there?
Well, John is actually quoting this loud voice from the throne. So God himself is talking, and he's talking about the ultimate deliverance from sin and death and all of that. So up until this point in time, because the earth has been the earth and Satan wasn't destroyed, there were all kinds of tears. But when the new heavens and the new earth come, notice it says, I saw the holy city coming down. And so now is when God and his people are going to come to a new earth, and there will be no crying and weeping and death and all of that, because sin is gone. But one of the things you have to remember about Revelation is it doesn't deal with time in a linear fashion. It's not we're at one date in Revelation 1 and a different date in Revelation 22. It just moves all over the place depending upon what God is trying to reveal about Jesus in particular context, whether it's a judgment context or a historical context or a victorious context. And so just take this as God's absolute assurance that sin is going to be gone and there will be no more crying.
Right. So in the new heavens, new earth, so this verse is before that happens, that God makes all things new. So in those new heavens, new earth, all those tears are already going to be wiped away.
Yes.
By the Lord, and all of that is going to turn into inexpressible joy.
Yes.
Us just being in his presence forever.
Yeah.
So, Maureen, thank you for that call. We certainly appreciate it.
We do indeed. It is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us, everybody. We'd love for you to really join us at 844-322-2742. The lines are wide open right now.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go down to Temple, Texas, and talk to our friend Duran. Hi, Duran.
Hey, Duran.
Hey, y'all. How's it going?
Going well. Welcome, my friend.
Thank you. It's good to talk to y'all again. I have a very important question that I've been trying to figure out. I'm trying to see, is there a difference between the five crowns that we're going to receive and the rewards, or are they the same? Because I know it says in Corinthians, if the work survives, the builder will receive a reward, you know, what you allow Christ to do in through you. So I know that the rewards we're going to get, we're going to just give it right back to Jesus anyway, because he's the one that did it in through us. So are the five crowns the rewards, or are they two different things?
Well, we see, you know, like the crown of life, the crown of righteousness, those have already been given to us. And so those will just become visible in a wonderful way in the heavenly realm when we're with the Lord forever. So Paul talks about there's a crown waiting for me. And he's simply saying that this is going to be made evident. So all of those are gifts of grace, aren't they? So it's not something we've earned. It's not something we've merited through good works or those sort of things. It's simply God's gift of grace to us. Now, as far as the rewards that he talks about in 1 Corinthians, that's all in the context of building on the foundation of Christ Jesus. Yeah. So there's no other foundation other than the one that's already been laid, and that's Jesus Christ himself. And so how do we build upon that? How do we build upon that foundation? And it's only those works that are built on that foundation of Christ Jesus that are going to last and will have eternal value. Anything that we do in the flesh is just we're using the wrong building materials.
Yes.
And they're just gonna burn up, right? So
that's right.
If we're building on the foundation of Christ, then there's only certain building materials that are going to work in that context. So we use those by faith in Jesus. We build upon that foundation of Christ, and we see him doing his work through us, and what he does through us, that stands forever.
Okay.
Richard, any thoughts on that?
I always get a little nervous when we talk about crowns and rewards, because I was raised in a way that made crowns and rewards the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal was not to be with Jesus. The ultimate goal was to have a bigger house, more crowns, you know, all of that kind of thing. And I admit my bias there. I think we're going to spend a lot of time on our faces when we get to be with Jesus. It is more than enough that he reasoned it possible to save me. And if I'm in heaven with him, wherever heaven is, here on earth, in heaven, some other place, that is more than enough. And whether I'm wearing a crown that I can recognize or not is immaterial. I just can't wait to meet Jesus face to face. And I mean, that is ultimate goal.
That's reward enough right there.
Oh, my sakes, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Duran, thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate it.
Yes, we do. Thank you. Friends, the incomparable story of hope, truth, and lasting change that is found only in Jesus Christ is told very, very nicely by these two guys, Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, and it's contained in a 14-CD series called It's All Yours, and we're making it available this month to all Basic Gospel donors. Bob, tell our listeners a little bit about what the takeaway is in studying through this series.
Well, the book of Hebrews is just one of the most powerful books in the entire Word of God. It really is a summary statement of the whole gospel, the whole Word of God, the whole counsel of God. It lifts up Jesus like no other book. It tells us of the glories of this new covenant that we live in. I think it is a book that is relevant for our times today. And I know many people have never worked through the book of Hebrews. They've probably never heard very many sermons from the book of Hebrews. It's a book that people stay away from because it seems hard and difficult. But when you recognize that it's about Jesus, it's about God's final word to man through this new covenant, then everything falls into place, and it becomes one of the most exciting books that you will ever read. And Richard and I just had a fantastic time working through this. It was more fun, and we want you to experience the truths that are revealed in this book of Hebrews. And this is a very rich series.
Yeah. It's called It's All Yours, and friends, it is. Request your copy when you click donate at basicgospel.net. Of course, in Canada, you can donate at basicgospel.net/Canada. Also, you can donate through the Basic Gospel app and with PayPal, and we'd love for you to partner with us in this message of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Guys, I received a wonderful voicemail from our dear friend Brad Heath up in O'Fallon, Missouri. Got it this morning, and Brad has been associated with our ministry for many years, and just the dearest brother you could ever want to meet. And he always is so encouraging and so forth. And I just wanted to say, Brad, I got your message, and I love you, brother, and thank you for what you are to this ministry.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to our friend Chris in Fairfax, Virginia. Hi, Chris. You're on the line.
I wanted to ask how God taught people in the Old Testament time period. So there was the law itself, the Old Testament, and there is the prophets, and God used those to teach people. But then you see in verses like Psalm 25, 4 and 5, where David says, "Make me know your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths, lead me in your truth and teach me." So we know that the Holy Spirit did not indwell people at that time, and David had the Holy Spirit to inspire him to write that passage. But at the same time, even though the Holy Spirit didn't indwell people, could he still have played a role in teaching people? How do you think that worked?
Well, certainly he played a role, because it was by the Spirit that the prophets were moved to write down the words of God. So God's Spirit was very deeply involved in that. Peter talked about that in his second letter, that these aren't made up stories out of the imaginations of men or the will of man, but men were moved, carried along by the Spirit of God, and they wrote down the very words of God. So God's Spirit was moving the prophets and those folks who penned the Old Testament to put down the very words of God. And then when the prophets went into the places and called the people to repent, certainly it was the Spirit moving them to do that. Many of the prophets didn't want to, and yet they were compelled to do so. So God's Spirit certainly had a role, but it was a different role as far as what we experience. We have that teacher inside of us, and we have the mind of Christ, not like them. They didn't have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ, because we have the Spirit of Christ living inside of us. So, as you look and you see the history of Israel, they missed what the prophets were saying. They persecuted the prophets, and we see a couple parables about that. We see one about the farmers, and the guy who owned the farm, and he went away, and he sent people to manage, and the workers killed him. And then he sent his son, and they killed the son. And that was a story of the people of Israel, how they rejected the prophets and how they eventually rejected Jesus Christ himself. So even though the Spirit was moving the prophets to bring the word of God to the people, they did not fully understand what was being said to them. And so when Jesus showed up on the scene, they missed him, didn't they?
Yeah, that's true. What about the common person who wasn't a prophet during the Old Testament? Could they pray something like, "God, teach me"? Because, I mean, if it's in a psalm, presumably that was something that other people could sing or pray. So what about someone who wasn't a prophet, and how did God teach them?
Well, I think they taught them through the law and through the writings. So Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 6, talked extensively about that, about passing on the information from one generation to the next. And so they had constant reminders in their day-to-day life of the law of God, of this covenant that God had, had forged out with the people. So they had constant reminders, but, you know, it would go for a generation and then they would lose sight of it. And then a prophet would have to come back on the scene and draw them back. And some leader would have to say, hey, we have sinned against God and we need to come back to his law and his way. So it really was through the law and through the writings that information about God was passed on from person to person, from one generation to the next. But the true knowledge of God wasn't available until the Spirit of God was given. That's why in this new covenant, one of the promises of this new covenant is that we will all know the Father from the least of us to the greatest. Why? Because he's given us his very Spirit.
Okay, well, thanks as always for everything that you guys do, and God bless you richly.
Well, thank you, Chris.
Thanks, yeah, man. Thanks,
great to hear
Chris.
From you.
Yes, indeed. Guys, we got a note from a new listener named Corey. He wrote, thank you for your ministry. First listened on CSN Radio recently, got Bob's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and it has helped me understand that my human efforts are not enough. Only God's grace is, and it has helped me walk tremendously in my walk with Christ. God bless you and everyone at Basic Gospel. You'll be in my prayers. Again, that's from Corey, who listens on CSN. And friends, you know, I think that's a good testimony. If you would like to find out how the Christian life is really supposed to work, as Bob Christopher did, and as Corey did by reading this particular book, order your copy today, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. You can find it right at the top of the homepage at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, by Bob Christopher. Well, guys, we had another call that came in off hours. Let's listen.
Yes. Can you explain how important is it what day we worship on? I hear so much about Saturday being the day you're supposed to worship, not Sunday. And I mean, they really stress this on Seventh-day Adventists. And even on your radio station, I hear it on 770 AM. Could you please explain to me this? Thank you.
Well, there's really no set day of worship for the believer. In the Old Covenant, the law, the fourth commandment, was to keep the Sabbath day holy, and that Sabbath day was from sundown Friday evening to sundown Saturday evening. That was the Sabbath, and so that's when they worshiped, that's when they went and read the scrolls and did all the things prescribed for them in the law. But that was just a shadow of the real things that we were going to experience by faith in Jesus Christ. So it was pointing to an eternal Sabbath, an eternal rest that we would know and experience and realize through faith in Jesus. So when we rest in Christ's finished work, we rest from our works just as he rested from his, and we experience Sabbath. And that's every day of the week.
Yeah.
Now, when we choose to worship, that's our call. We don't need to get bogged down in this day or that day. It's just our call. It's whenever we want to worship. You see churches today holding worship services on Thursday evening, some on Friday evening, some on Saturday, some on Sunday. Traditionally, we've picked Sunday because it's the day of resurrection on the first morning. They went to the tomb and his body was not there. And so it's this resurrection that we trust. It's the thing that makes our faith meaningful. Without the resurrection, we're without hope. So through church history, folks have chosen Sunday as kind of that day to honor the resurrection of Jesus Christ and to worship and to rejoice in this new life that we have because of that resurrection. But again, it's not set in stone. You're not going to find that in the Word of God that you must worship on Sunday. So we're free. We can pick any day that we want. As a matter of fact, Paul said in his letter to the Colossians, therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in regards to food or drink, with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are the shadow of things to come, but are the substance belongs to Christ. So if your church worships on Sunday, praise God. But don't get bogged down in that, Richard.
Yeah, the question is the wrong question. The question was asked as a behavioral question. Don't ask the behavioral question. The question is, are you under the old covenant or under the new covenant? Are you under law or are you under grace? The answer to those questions answers the question on what day to worship.
Yes.
If you're under law, seventh-day Sabbath, no question. If you're under grace, you're 24/7 in the Sabbath because of what Jesus has accomplished, and therefore there is no day that is the right day.
Yeah.
Every day is the right day.
And you and I, Richard, recorded today a short little video explaining that. And if you're not a subscriber to our YouTube channel, we encourage you to go to YouTube/Basic Gospel and subscribe. And we're going to be putting out weekly a YouTube video that explains these basic truths. And that's it. At the cross, Jesus brought to fulfillment the old. The wages of sin is death. He died. And we died in Christ. So that law has been fulfilled in us. And then his blood ratified a new covenant. He ushered in a brand new covenant, one that was prophesied in the law, prophesied by Jeremiah and Ezekiel. He said, a time is coming. Jesus stood with his disciples at that Passover feast, that Last Supper with them. He raised the cup and said, this is the cup of the new covenant. He was basically saying, the time is here.
Yes.
And the next day when he hung on that cross, he bled and died. He ushered in this new covenant. And it's this new covenant that we live in today. So that cross was the place of change. It truly was the dividing line. And so we have to recognize that we live on this side of the cross in the new covenant. And everything before in the law was simply a shadow of what this new covenant was going to be, including that fourth commandment. So we experience eternal rest through faith in Jesus Christ. So that's a great question, and we sure appreciate that.
Yeah.
Well, let's go down to Hardwood, Texas, and talk to Aaron. Hi, Aaron. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hey, how you doing today?
We're doing great. What's on your mind?
Good, good. Thanks for taking my question. I got a question about James 4 and 8. James, I know it seemed like they was having some type of trouble, maybe with pride or all kinds of stuff going on in the church. But James says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Then he says, like, ye sinners and you know, he made some statements. I'm just trying to get some understanding out of that verse number 8, if you can kind of go through that and kind of give me a better understanding of it. And I'm going to get off the phone and listen to you, what you say about that verse.
Well, thanks, Aaron. I think the word sinner is the operative word. Nowhere in the New Testament does he call believers anything other than saints or children of God, sons of God. Sinner is what we were before we knew Christ. That was our identity, but that identity has been changed. So I look at this as really an apostolic invitation to those who were lost, those who were double-minded, unstable in all of their ways as far as faith in Jesus was concerned. I think it was an invitation to them to really draw near to God and to be cleansed and to receive that new life that is only available through faith in him. So,
well, we love hearing from you, our listeners, and gosh, it's been, the time has just flown today, but I want to give you a quick reminder that as you make your January gift to support Basic Gospel, be sure to request your CD series called It's All Yours. It's our gift back to you for supporting this message of God's unconditional love, grace, and life in the Lord Jesus Christ that you hear every day on Basic Gospel. Just click donate at basicgospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. Of course, in Canada, donate through basicgospel.net/Canada. Keep in mind, too, friends, that our listener line is always open for any question that you might have. That number is 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. It's there to serve you. We hope you'll take advantage of it. 844-322-2742. Or you can drop an email to bob@basicgospel.net. Any way you use, we'll be glad to address your question here at Basic Gospel. That's why we're on the air every day.
to address your needs and point you into the Word of God for the answer and the solution in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you back again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.